At times, being bipolar can be an all-consuming challenge, requiring a lot of stamina and even more courage. So if you're living with this illness and functioning at all, it's something you should be proud of, not ashamed of. They should issue medals along with a steady stream of medication. Carrie Fisher. Hey, listener, welcome to the 9th episode of How Are You? Really? And I'm your host, Nick. Want to just take a second to apologize for the wait or the delay on this episode. I've kind of been working on some ideas to potentially retool the podcast a little bit, just to make it a little more of a more interactive listening experience for you, the listener. So yeah, that's what the issue was there. And yeah, you may not see it in this episode. I'm gonna talk about that a little more at the end, but yeah, we'll get into that in a little bit. But let's dive right into the topic here, which is bipolar disorders. And this one, I'm sure you probably heard quite a bit, probably in pop culture references, in your coworkers' conversations and jokes, mostly. It's a very misconceived and misunderstood mental illness, and it's one of the more debilitating also. There's a lot of complexity to this one, with these ones, I should say. But yeah, we'll discuss that here in just a minute. And as always, a little side note here, the majority of the information that I have is from psychiatry.org. So let's get right into it. Bipolar disorders, they are brain disorders that cause changes in a person's mood, energy, and ability to function. Bipolar disorders are a category that include three different conditions: bipolar 1, bipolar 2, and psychothemic disorder. So people with bipolar disorders have extreme and intense emotional states that occur at distinct times called mood episodes. Okay, so just to talk about the misconception, a lot of people think that bipolar is switching from mood to mood in like a matter of seconds, and that's not necessarily the case. While that does happen sometimes, it's not necessarily second to second. It can be just, I don't know, within a day you can alter from an extreme high to an extreme low, but we'll discuss that a little more. But it's not necessarily what you think it is. Someone just acting moody is not being bipolar, which seemingly is the common take on this. But anyway, back to the topic at hand here. These mood disorders, these mood episodes are categorized as manic, hypomanic, and depressive. Individuals suffering from these disorders generally have periods of normal mood as well. Fortunately, bipolar disorders can be treated, and people with these illnesses can lead full and productive lives. But again, this disorder, if not treated, can be extremely debilitating and can completely alter any sort of normal functionality that an individual would have. So yeah, definitely this one really needs to be treated as soon as possible once diagnosed. So bipolar 1 disorder can cause dramatic mood swings. During a manic episode, people with bipolar 1 may feel high and on top of the world, or uncomfortably irritable and revved or like fired up. So that's kind of what I was referencing earlier with the dramatic highs or the dramatic low. During a depressive episode, they may feel sad and hopeless. There are often periods of normal moods in between these episodes. So manic episode is a period of at least 1 week when a person is very high-spirited or irritable in extreme way for most of the day, for most days, has more energy than usual, and experiences at least three of the following: showing a change in their normal behavior. So exaggerated self-esteem or grandiosity, less need for sleep, talking more than usual, talking loudly and quickly, easily distracted, doing many activities at once, or scheduling more events in a day that can be accomplished, increased in risky behaviors such as reckless driving or spending sprees, uncontrollable racing thoughts or quickly changing ideas or topics. The changes are significant and clear to friends and family. Symptoms can be severe enough to cause dysfunction and problems with work, family, or social activities and responsibilities. So a hypomanic episode, on the other hand, is similar to a manic episode, but the symptoms are less severe and need to only last for 4 days in a row. Hypomanic symptoms do not lead to major problems that mania often causes, and the person is still able to function. Major depressive episode is a period of 2 weeks in which a person has at least 5 of the following tendencies: intense sadness or despair, feelings of hopelessness or worthlessness, loss of interest in activities once enjoyed, feelings of worthlessness or guilty. Oh, looks like I doubled that one. Sleep problems, sleeping too little or too much, feeling restless or agitated, like pacing or hand wringing, slowed speech or movements, changes in appetite, like a sharp increase or a sharp decrease, loss of energy or fatigue, difficulty concentrating, remembering, or making decisions, frequent thoughts of death or suicide. And bipolar can significantly disrupt a person's life, and especially relationships with others, particularly with spouses and family members, and can cause difficulty in working or going to school. Individuals with bipolar 1 often have other mental disorders such as ADHD and anxiety disorder, or more commonly, a substance abuse disorder. Alright, let's talk about some risk factors for bipolar 1 disorder. Actually, both disorders, both bipolar 1 and 2. So, it can run in families. 80 to 90% of individuals with bipolar have a family member with either depression or bipolar disorder. So, that is an incredibly high rate. If you didn't catch that, 80 to 90% of individuals with bipolar disorder have a family member with either depression or bipolar, which is pretty astronomical. However, environmental factors can also contribute to bipolar. So some of these factors can be extreme stress, sleep disruption, drugs, alcohol, and other potential disruptive behaviors may trigger episodes in vulnerable patients. So, like I had referenced in previous episodes, this one, though, is a lot heavier on the nature side of the nature versus nurture argument, nurture being the environmental factors coming into play that mainly affect whether or not an individual will be vulnerable to a mental illness. So, treatment and management for bipolar 1 disorder. The most effective treatment plans for bipolar is medication, generally in combination, though, with psychotherapy. So, generally, you can't just have one or the other for this particular disorder, just because generally psychological professionals need to be able to track an individual's behavior, even some of the most subtle changes, because it could be leading into one of these disruptive episodes. So if you can track that individual's behavior by having them in psychotherapy, in partnership with their prescribed medication, excuse me, then they will be more able to prevent said episodes by altering potentially the medication that they prescribed, maybe upping it, or just bringing the patient in for more psychotherapy sessions, potentially, you know, something like that. Let's see here. But, you know, like every other treatment plan, it is individualized for the specific patient. The medications that are used are known as mood stabilizers and are most commonly are the most commonly prescribed type of medication for bipolar. So, and then in the CBT or the psychotherapy that the individual can work with their psychiatrists or other mental health professionals like community health members, outreach workers, stuff like that, to work out problems, better understand their illness, and even rebuild relationships and just kind of relearn how to function in a normal way. Unfortunately, bipolar is a very reoccurrent illness, meaning it can come back despite ongoing treatments. So, again, like we were saying before, that's why the medication and the psychotherapy are needed in combination with each other. But in most cases, bipolar disorder is much better controlled if treatment is continuous. And in cases, more severe cases, when medication and psychotherapy have not helped, treatment known as electrocompulsive convulsive therapy, ECT, may be implemented. So bipolar 2 disorder involves a person having at least one major depressive episode and at least one hypomanic episode. People usually return to normal function between these episodes. Individuals with bipolar 2 often have co-occurring mental illnesses such as anxiety disorder or substance abuse, just like bipolar 1. These two really aren't that much different, but it is kind of bouncing back and forth between these episodes. They do experience that normal functionality, which is sort of the difference. So the treatments, again, are pretty similar to bipolar 1, which is the medication in combination with psychotherapy. You know, they also utilize the mood stabilizers, antidepressants, depending on the specific symptoms that individual experiencing the worst. And ECT may also be utilized for this particular disorder as well. But, and again, at the end of the day, as with every mental illness, each person is different. So each treatment plan will be individualized. That's really the name of the game. No one's different. Everything, every sort of illness is not the same. That's why this is such a, can be such a complex field to be in, and just a very complex science. So the last bipolar disorder that's grouped within this category is psychothemic disorder, which is a milder form of bipolar involving many mood swings with hypomania and depressive symptoms that often occur and are fairly consistent. Individuals with psychothemia experience emotional ups and downs, but with less severe symptoms than bipolar 1 or bipolar 2. And to meet the specific criteria for a diagnosis as psychothemia, one must be experiencing the following symptoms. For at least 2 years, many periods of hypomanic and depressive symptoms, must be experienced, but the symptoms do not meet the full criteria for a hypomanic or a depressive episode. So you can still be experiencing the symptoms of an episode, but it doesn't necessarily take up the entire time frame that is required to fit an episode like that. During the 2-year period, the symptoms or mood swings have lasted for at least half of the time and have never stopped for more than 2 months. So the treatment for these psychothemic disorders can involve medication and talk therapy like the others. But for many people, talk therapy can be the most effective because they can help discuss the stresses of the ongoing highs and the lower moods. And unlike the previous bipolar 1 and bipolar 2, people with psychothemia may start and stop treatment over time as needed. Just a quick little story here about my time in community health. I learned that individuals with bipolar disorder, sometimes in certain cases, if some of their symptoms go untreated and some of the episodes begin to evolve, and sometimes people begin to experience episodes or periods of psychosis, which can be incredibly bad for the brain chemistry, that it begins to alter the disorder and it evolves. It can potentially evolve, depending again on the individual and the disease itself. It can potentially evolve into something known as schizoaffective disorder, which is a form of schizophrenia that involves the layers of bipolar and some of the psychosis episodes and other potential symptoms of schizophrenia. So that's just a little example of how complex some of this stuff can be, because then you have to decide what to describe this particular individual and what treatment options will work along with what they've experienced in the past. And it's just incredibly complex, and you know, it's things that we're always learning new things in this science, and you know, they're just still incredible amount of stuff that needs to still be discovered in relation to this and increase our effectiveness in treatment. So I just want to take time to conclude this episode, but I wanted to take a minute to ask you a couple questions. So what are some of your favorite parts of this podcast? You know, what are some of your least favorite parts? Is there a topic that you'd like me to discuss specifically? Are there any topics that you'd like me to go back and elaborate on? And really, how are you liking this podcast overall? And, you know, I just kind of want to take some of your feedback so I can sort of mold this podcast, because I have some ideas for the future, and it will definitely be changing in format eventually once I reach sort of phase 2 of this. But, you know, in the meantime, I'm going to continue to do what I'm doing the way that I'm doing it, only adding slight variations probably each episode. But, you know, I just would like to hear from you and what you would like to maybe hear from the podcast more of or less of, or just really any sort of feedback that you would feel so inclined to provide, you know. So a pretty decent way that I've thought of, I guess, to do that, if you do feel so inclined to respond to some of these questions, which I would love if you would, you can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram under the name of Nick Moon. And really to kind of siphon through. I'm not sure how many Nick Moons are on each one, probably quite a few, but I do have the same profile picture under, I think, all of those, except for maybe Twitter, so I can change that. But it's the same picture that I have as the cover art for this podcast, so if you're able to view that, then you can know what I look like. But yeah, I think for now, though, the next episode, we will be discussing dissociative disorders, which was previously known as multi-personality disorder, which no longer exists, and we'll get into discussing that. So again, thank you for listening, and I look forward to hearing from you. And until next time, Nick out.